You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. Could used cooking oil replace crude? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. An estimated 80,000 people have descended on Dubai for COP28. This latest gathering, focused on multilateral cooperation on climate change, has record attendance and a massive carbon footprint to match. Some world leaders and corporate executives flying there on private jets, we've been assured, got there using sustainable aviation fuel, also known as SAF. Meanwhile, just last week, a Virgin Atlantic passenger jet traveled from London to New York, powered 100% by SAF. It came from feedstock, including used cooking oil, waste animal fats, and what the company called a small amount of synthetic aromatic kerosene. Critics call this a gimmick, and to be clear, right now, sustainable aviation fuel makes up just a tiny slice of fuels that airlines use to fly us places. But energy analyst Louise Burke of the consultancy Argus Media says that could change.
The big difference between sustainable aviation fuel and conventional jet fuel is that there is a very specific difference in the amount of greenhouse gas emissions that are released into the atmosphere. So these companies are essentially trying to reduce the GHG emissions. The aviation sector in general is kind of one of the last remaining industry sectors to really take a good look at this and see how they can actually reduce their carbon emissions.
Which is a big problem for them, right?
I mean, aviation overall globally really accounts for 2-3% of the global greenhouse gas emissions. And that was a report that was released by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. So the big issue with the aviation industry is that what are the methods? How can we reduce greenhouse gas emissions? So there's a couple of different ways, but SAF meets one of the most and is the most significant way to reduce for that sector.
We're describing sustainable aviation fuel as a sustainable fuel source, but it does release carbon dioxide when it's burned, just as other fuels do. I wonder if you can set the record straight for us. Is it actually accurate to use phrases like carbon-free as a label here?
That's a good question. I think each type of sustainable aviation fuel has a different level of carbon intensity. In some instances, the processes that are being worked on will be carbon-free, and you'll actually see this net zero type of technology. At this point, we're saying that the current sustainable aviation fuel, which is the HEFA-based process, that's that chemical process of taking that animal waste and that used cooking oil and manufacturing a SAF molecule, the maximum we've seen is it reduces carbon intensity by 80%. However, new technologies are, you know, everyone's working very hard on this. And we will see net zero and potentially even more positive ways of ensuring that there is no carbons being released into the atmosphere. So, yeah, we're on that path. We're not there yet.
So what are some of the hurdles to this really taking off, this sustainable aviation fuel, in practical terms? I mean, we have to talk about price. How much more does SAF cost as compared to traditional aviation fuel?
It costs anywhere from 2.5 to 5 times more than conventional jet. So keep in mind, conventional jet is, you know, you've got fully scalable plants right now. We've been using the conventional fuels for many, many years. So now you need new technology as well as just scalability of some of these plants. Right now, for example, jet fuel is around $3 a gallon. And if you were to look at how much SAF costs, it's about $7.5 to $8 a gallon. So in order to actually produce more SAF, we need more, if you will, government incentives. So government policy is definitely very key. Here in the U.S., we have a type of policy that promotes the potential production of for biofuels in general. So it's renewable diesel as well as SAF. In Europe, they have a different way of handling it. They say, we're putting in a blend mandate. In other words, you must use SAF in the process. So each region handles it differently, but policy is key. And all the other shareholders are very key in private investment, et cetera, to really ensuring that we will have sufficient SAF to help with the decarbonization initiatives.
Can SAF then be something that's used with regularity that is scaled up at the level that we, you know, that people, the proponents of this technology want to see?
You know, that again, that's a great question. One of the biggest issues that we have on the current production pathway process, which is called the HEFA-based pathway, is feedstocks. So think about used cooking oil as the new crude oil. So, you know, we always hear about in the traditional conventional markets, we hear, is there going to be enough crude oil? Will we run out? And in some instances, there is pressure on this market to ensure that the feedstocks that we have that are used in the current technology pathway will be sufficient so that we will be able to scale up.
We'll be right back with more from Louise Burke, energy analyst and vice president of business development at Argus Media. You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now, a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with energy analyst Louise Burke of Argus Media. I'm always interested in ways we can make this stuff feel more real and less abstract. And one question that comes to mind is, what does sustainable aviation fuel look like? And given that it's coming from the fat of dead animals, does it smell different than traditional aviation fuel would?
So the final product is, and what the I think what's important about this product is it's a drop in fuel. So what do we mean by a drop in fuel? So it completely replaces and has identical characteristics to conventional jet fuel.
So it looks and smells the same.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know about smelling. I haven't smelled it directly, so I don't know about that. But the idea is that it's chemically exactly the same and identical to what you'd see with conventional fuel. The benefit is that it's a lower carbon fuel.
If this push to scalability continues, as we move towards that, are we as consumers going to be asked to do things differently, maybe be more careful about discarding the oils that we use to cook, the waste that we, you know, would otherwise throw away?
No, that's a great question. I think when you look at this market, you have different participants in it. And so one of the most interesting ones that I've encountered is what we call the feedstock aggregators. So they're the ones that go to the McDonald's and pick up the used cooking oil and that go to the facilities, the tallow facilities, and pick it up. It is valuable. And so the consumer, when you look at recycling, it becomes more important. And I think that you may be able to see. The other point, which I think if anyone looks at their airline ticket these days, you can actually measure your carbon footprint. The airlines will provide to you how much you're actually using by taking that flight. And they may even ask you to pay in for a green premium. And that could be your way really of contributing as well.
That was Argus Media's Louise Burke. Louise made the point that policy is helping drive a lot of adoption here. This past year, as it's implemented the Inflation Reduction Act, the Treasury Department has established a sustainable aviation fuel credit for producers. Now, the energy and airline industries are trying to make it easier for corn-based ethanol to qualify for that credit. They sent the Biden administration a letter pushing for that just last week. Many environmentalists, though, oppose allowing ethanol to qualify, saying production can involve removing trees and wetlands to plant the corn it's made from, and that can raise the carbon footprint of the land where it's grown. They say only waste products from corn, like leaves and stalks, should qualify. Read more about that debate on our website, marketplacetech.org. We've also posted a piece from Inside Climate News. They visited Gary, Indiana, where plans for a plant that turns trash from Chicago into jet fuel has the support of the mayor. It has, however, gotten pushback from a group of self-described badass women. They note the process of converting trash to fuel is itself extremely energy intensive. The leader of an environmental group tells Inside Climate News he actually refuses to use the term sustainable aviation fuel because of the implication that it's beneficial, which he doesn't think it is. He calls it alternative aviation fuel instead. And economist Josh Most, based in the UK, tells the BBC the science would suggest there, quote, really is no such thing as sustainable aviation. The only real solution to bring aviation emissions down, he says, is to fly less and reduce global demand for flights. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.